In the name of the Father, and of the Son, and of the Holy Spirit, amen. On that day when evening came, Jesus said to them, "Let us go across to the other side." And leaving the crowd behind, they took him with them in the boat just as he was, and a great gale arose, and the waves beat into the boat, so the boat was already being swamped. But he was in the stern, asleep on the cushion. And they woke him and said to him, "Teacher, do you not care that we are perishing?" And Jesus woke up and rebuked the wind and said to the sea, "Peace, be still." Then the wind ceased, there was a dead calm. And he said to them, "Why are you afraid? Have you still no faith?" A few weeks back, though I tried to hide it, you may have noticed that I could barely lift up my arm to bless you during Badarak. And it turns out that I have something called calcific tendonitis in my shoulder, whatever that is. My regular doctor wasn't in town. Thankfully, it's gotten better. And where it comes from, no one really knows for sure, but I know part of the problem. Part of the problem is that it's so hot and rainy in Florida that it's very difficult to go out and do your walking and to do your push-ups and to do your set-ups and whatever you do. And apparently when you reach a certain age, I'm coming to the bitter conclusion, if you don't use it, you lose it. Your muscles, your language, perhaps even your mind. Well, our spiritual health is very similar to our physical health in that way, right? If we don't use it, we lose it. And it's also similar in the ways that you build it up. Right? In order for muscles to grow, we exercise and we stretch the muscles and you even tear them, right, microscopically. And then you replenish yourself with nutrients and they have a chance to reheal and grow. And that's a lot like the spiritual life. We have to stretch ourselves to grow. Yes, we even have to tear a little bit our egos, our pride, our envy, our anger, our sloth, laziness, covetousness, gluttony, and lust. And then replenish ourselves with worship, with scripture, with serving those in need. And when we stretch ourselves, our faith grows stronger and it raises the quality of everyday life, but it also, importantly, prepares us for the big storms of life. And this wisdom is all contained in today's gospel reading, showing us how to prepare for and to lean into and to grow stronger from the storms of life. But the first thing to note about this gospel reading, very interestingly, it's one of the very few that occur more than once in the year in our lectionary. We read it at least twice. And I think that's not an accident. Our church fathers know that storms come up all the time in life, and it's urging us to be prepared. This reading is like a fire drill. It's a cell phone alert to always be vigilant, since money problems, work problems, relationship problems, health problems often come up out of nowhere. And much too often, we're caught flat-footed in our faith. And that's the reason for that brilliant little detail in today's reading, where Jesus is asleep. This is a storm, a tempest, a tornado. Jesus is asleep while the storm is raging. And that's because for the disciples, and probably for many of us, if you're like me, we've neglected Jesus and interacting with him so much that he is asleep and we have to wake him up when we need him. But then, when we do wake him up, be careful, because you always get more than you bargain for. Put yourself in the shoes of the disciples. I'm sure they were afraid when Jesus calmed the storm. Even for seasoned fishermen, that storm was probably scary. But then, they probably relaxed for just about 1 minute until it dawned on them and they came face to face with the man who they thought was just their friend Jesus, that somehow is now acting with the awesome power of God. So this miracle just got very personal for them. Who is this really, and what does it mean, and what's the cost to follow him? And a wise Christian once said that people fear miracles because they fear being changed. I do. And I think this rings true in our experience, that we can imagine that fear in the disciples. And if you and I were in that boat, you might be thinking, if he can do this to the weather, then what's he going to do to me and us? And we are in the same boat with Jesus, because we're born into a life that is at times a luxury cruise, and then at times it's stormy and terrifying, and we get caught in the storm and we beg God to cure us of this disease or bless us with wealth or bring us success, but then we probably hesitate because what strings might be attached? Might this miracle force us to change? Might we be obliged to share our new wealth with the poor, or to use our health and success as God would have us do it and not just ourselves? And so this miracle of transformation and the fear that comes with it, it's actually, I'm not just speculating about that, it's right there in the beginning of the text, which is one of those hidden bombshells that you have to know is there. Before they go on their adventure on the sea, on the lake, Jesus says, "Let us cross over to the other side." And this seems like nothing to us. But for the disciples, Jesus is drawing them from their home turf, Capernaum, where everyone knows them and they know to the dangerous land of the Gerasenes. And that's like us maybe taking a visit to the Armenian homeland and suddenly our guide sneaks us into part of Azerbaijan. Jesus is asking the disciples to stretch, to risk, and to change, and to share with and love those who seem unlovable. And he's moving them from being just fishermen to being disciples, to welcoming a kingdom which looks nothing like this earth in many ways. And to their credit, the disciples do follow Jesus to the other side, and I pray that we all have the courage and the grace to do the same. And so going to the other side from you can mean 100 different things. It might mean stepping out and trying to mend that relationship that is broken. It might be going to the other side of town or even to the other side of the world to help those who have much less than us. And it might be simply going to the other side of something that's easy and comfortable at work, at home, and making a difficult decision that's the right one. Echoing last week's sermon, let's try to do things that are challenging enough that they can only be accomplished by the grace of God and the help of others. And if we do this, I think we'll find that we're using and not losing our spiritual muscles, and that we'll be refortified by the good graces of God. If you have to wake Jesus up from neglecting him, that's okay. We all do. And if you get more than you bargained for when you rouse this spiritual giant, that's okay, we all do. Because he always challenges his followers to stretch us from our comforts and from our competence into something greater. But this challenge is always, always worth it, because we never go to the other side alone. Jesus is always with us in the boat. Jesus is our navabet bari, our good captain who steers us on our way. Because no matter how difficult the journey, he promises to bring us where we need to be, now and always, and unto the ages of ages. Amen.